The scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. If you'd like to turn there, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth.
Good morning, church. All right. Setting your minds on things above, as David just read in Colossians 3:2. To set one's mind on something is to choose to think about it or to focus on it. To influence one's goals and to set up a plan of action. Choosing a specific field of study for someone that's getting ready to go into college. For example, somebody, if you're pursuing the career, if you want to be a medical doctor, one has to study really hard in order to get good grades and to pass the different exams to become and to get into medical school. And also understanding that it takes several years of schooling to become a doctor. Also, if you're setting your mind on a specific goal of losing weight, let's say, for example, you're trying to lose like 20 pounds, you have to set up a strict diet, right, in order to shed those pounds, and you have to be able to have the ability to be able to follow that diet. You also have to make good decisions, make good choices into what you're putting in, what you're consuming, and you have to stick to it. You have to also have a nice exercise program to be able to endure, to shed off those pounds. Each of these examples, you would have to set your mind to and focus to get the desired results that you want. If you don't study hard enough in school and you make bad choices to party, to do different things instead of hitting the books, and you prioritize spending time with your friends instead, probably not going to get that particular grade that you need. If your goal is to lose weight and you continue to make bad choices, you continue to eat all of the different bad foods, you fail to lose the weight, and you eventually become frustrated, and you give up on your goals. Losing weight is a constant goal of many people. You need to consistently make good choices about what you're putting in and have a good exercise program. The old saying goes, you get out of it what you put into it. If you make bad choices to eat junk food and not stick to your exercise routine, then you'll eventually give up and you won't meet those weight loss goals because you lost focus of those goals. In comparison to following Christ, the same thing can happen. If we set our minds on things above and have a goal to have eternal life, we must strive to have the same focus of becoming that person that's striving to lose that weight. However, the consequences are much more extreme in this case if you lose focus on following Christ. The same way that you would need to prioritize your studies and your eating habits, you would also need to also prioritize your habits and getting closer and having a stronger relationship with God. Now, you can set your mind on these things and still not achieve your goal of becoming a doctor, or setting your minds on these things and not losing the 20 pounds that you had in mind and still be okay in life and while you're operating down here on earth. But setting your focus on heavenly things and falling short will have eternal consequences. In Colossians 3:2, the meaning setting your mind on things above and not on earthly things, for the most part, it's pretty straightforward for Christians and even non-believers that hear it to understand what that meaning basically entails. In Colossians 3:1, the preceding verse, it reads, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things that which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God." Paul reminds the Christians here at Colossae to keep their minds on godly and spiritual things. This is meant for those who have accepted Christ and have received him as their Savior. Rather than looking to the earth around them, in the minds of the Christians should be focused on that which is above. The things above are things from God. God often noted as being above in the New Testament, and heaven is also described as being above. As we read in John chapter 3, verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And also in John chapter 8, verse 23, and he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. And again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. The fact that Jesus ascended means that he had to come to earth first, as read in Ephesians 4, 9. In James chapter 3, verse 15, notes a false approach, which is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. In contrast, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, as read in James chapter 3, verse 17. This doesn't mean that Christians should ignore all earthly concerns, like your job, raising your family, or material possessions. However, if we choose to prioritize our jobs over following God, or prioritizing the things of the world, such as choosing to watch a football game every Sunday instead of going to church to worship God, or volunteering to work extra hours at work on a Sunday and forego fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in Christ, or choosing to hang out with your friends instead of focusing on God. Our text today does mean that Christians ought to give their time and their attention to things that are pleasing to God rather than things that are pleasing to men. The first part of Colossians in chapter 3 is worth quoting in full to give proper context. As we start reading in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of the body, you were once called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God and gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As read in Colossians 3, 1 through 17. Colossians was written by Paul to the church in the city of Colossae. The culture of Colossae at that time was mostly pagan and immoral, such as was the Roman world, such as much of the world is today. The Christians in Colossae, however, could no longer take the cues from the world that existed around them. They had to take direction from above, as Paul stated. Although physically in the world, they were not to believe the same things that the culture around them did. They were not to behave according to the standards of the culture around them, as that would be taking their cues from below. Paul describes below culture in a number of words and concepts: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and lying, as what was previously read. The above culture, in contrast, is characterized by compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, peace, singing, worship, and gratitude. So how are we to cultivate the values from above while living down here on earth below? It's easy to act like a Christian on Sunday morning when you're around other Christians at church. But when we're not surrounded by Christians in a Christian environment like we are at here today, when we're out in the world, do we continue to stand tall and represent our Christianity strong? When you're out in the world around non-believers, people tend to blend in to their environment. As Christians, we're truly obligated to represent Jesus no matter where we are. Whether we're at work, on our job, at school, in our classrooms, in the locker room, after sports practice, we have to represent Christ daily in everything that we do. Most people in the world don't have a personal relationship with Christ as those that have been baptized. So they tend to act like those that are in the world, the people that are around them. We need to ensure that non-believers know that we are Christians. First, they need to see Christ in us. How we act and how we carry ourselves in the world, people notice. If you're truly focused on Christ, people will be able to tell, in some cases, without you even speaking a word. If you're out to eat at a restaurant, you're bowing your head and you're giving thanks. Or you're going to lunch with your same coworkers and colleagues, and they notice that you always bow and say a prayer before you eat. You're holding the door open for other people when you're outside. You're assisting people that are struggling. You're being polite and courteous to everyone, and you're saying please and thank you and God bless. Secondly, they need to hear that Christ is in us. People need to hear us talk about our faith and share our belief in God. We're told to go and preach the gospel to all creatures, as referenced in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. I freely shared with my boss and coworkers about my spiritual life. When I go to work and a colleague will ask, "How was your weekend?" I communicate, I went to church, I worship God, I delivered the morning sermon, I worked at the state fair booth, I fellowshiped with others, I spent my time with my brothers and sisters in Christ, amongst other things. I look for an opportunity in those particular moments with friends and coworkers to remind them of who I belong to and what I prioritize and what's important to me in my life. After consistently doing this, my coworkers at work They tend to leave me out of the conversations that involve gossip because they know who I am and who I represent. They tend to not curse or use profanity in my presence. If they do curse, they may cover their mouth and say, "Oops, I'm sorry, Travis." And I'm like, "You don't have to apologize to me. There's higher powers that you have to be responsible to report to in regards to that." This is from managers as well. Associates may have, in the past, have used profanity in conversations that have slipped out of their mouth in a conversation with me. And they'll immediately apologize because from an associate to a manager, they know that you can potentially write them up and hold them accountable for it. Managers as well will do the same thing. And I think that my managers, my peers, out of respect who I am and what I stand for. They know that I can't write them up, but they do know that I will hold them accountable and just be like language or say something to kind of keep them in check a little bit. Some of them don't really care for it when I do that, but I don't really care. I don't want to hear it. And if I'm sitting at the table, if I'm in a meeting, there's other people that are around or in the lunchroom that don't want to hear that type of language. At my last job, I pulled my boss off to the side. We had just had a meeting on the floor, and he was, every probably fifth word out of his mouth was profanity. And immediately after the meeting, I pulled him off to the side, and I told him, I said, "If you're going to hold us accountable for our language, who's holding you accountable for your language?" And there was this awkward silence. It lasted, it probably seemed like 2 minutes without a word being said between me or my boss in that moment. And he just looked at me and I just looked at him. And in that moment, he's just looking at me and he's evaluating and I'm just staring directly right back at him, just waiting for a response. And then he eventually answered and said, "You know what? Nobody's ever said that to me before." And he was just like, "You know what? Maybe I should get a swear jar or something like that." I was like, "You do whatever it is that you feel is best for you to stop swearing or using profanity, so on and so forth. You do whatever works for you, but it's just that if you're going to hold us accountable for our language, I want to make sure you're being held accountable as well." And he also went on to share that at his previous job, that his managers encourage that type of behavior and language to be spoken to his managers that represented him. So it was interesting to hear that, but I think taking a stance and a statement like that also ensured that he understood what was important to me and that he would be held accountable as well. Thirdly, we need to feel the love of Christ. They need to feel the love of Christ from us. We're instructed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus calls loving God the first and greatest commandment, and says the second is like, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. That's how we can cultivate the values from above while living down here on earth. But it takes focus. It takes a concentrated effort. We must set our minds on these things in order to be able to do it and not let the distractions of the world interfere with our focus. We are inundated with messages to promote the below or earthly behavior every day around every corner. If we watch TV or if we watch movies, TV tends to promote a lot of sinful behavior, whether they're commercials, movies, programs, sitcoms, or whatever it is. If you're not careful, these shows and these movies will have us to think that it's reality. When you overhear conversations at work or in the classroom, do you join in if your coworkers or classmates are criticizing coworkers? Do you laugh when classmates are ridiculed or being bullied by others at school? We should be compassionate and loving to everyone that is around us. Not fearful of standing up for your neighbor, the same way that Christ stood up for us. Social media is another monster that's out there. It consumes a lot of people's times these days. It's not bad to be on social media, but if you're viewing things on it that are sinful, or if you're using it for sinful purposes, or something that is non-Christian-like, then that's a problem. Spending so much time on these particular platforms, it distracts or lures you away from becoming a better Christian. A friend called me several years ago when Facebook had just came out, and he inquired about creating different friend groups. And I said, what? And he was just like, hey, I got some things I want to post on here, and I don't want my boss to see it, and I don't want other people to see it, and I don't want this young lady to see this, and if I post this, where I am, and she may show up, so on and so forth. And I told him, I was just like, I have no idea how to do that. I have no desire on doing that. And I told him, I said, I'm an open book. Whatever I post on my feed and Facebook, everybody can see it. My friends, my family, pastors, elders, my brothers and sisters in Christ, they all have the same access to everything that I post online. I have nothing to hide. And besides, God sees everything. You can't block him, because the word says what is done in the dark will come to light, as referenced in Luke chapter 8, verse 17. We will constantly be directed to embrace values that are clearly from below if we are not careful. And again, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's bad to be on social media. That's not what I'm saying at all. There are things that people use social media for that are good things and that are lucrative for some people as well. Just in the past week here in the news, if you've been paying attention, if you're familiar with Meta, a technology conglomerate, technology firm that is essentially Facebook and owns Instagram, they reached a landmark agreement and agreed to pay out $18 billion, resolving allegations that its platforms were intentionally designed to be addictive and harmful to teenagers. $18 billion they agreed to pay out, because what the programs that they were designing these things to do would be harmful to teenagers. You just need to be careful and know that your first priority is to represent Christ. Even if the messages that we receive are not immoral, the perspective is one that excludes God and prioritizes things as though life on earth is all that matters. Our happiness and fulfillment and right to be happy seem to be our top priority. If we want to be directed from above, we must make a concentrated effort to counteract these messages that are everywhere in today's culture. To set our minds on things above, we must read and meditate on Scripture. Reading God's Word daily, the Scriptures point to me, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39. Spending time with Christ instead of devoting your time to earthly things. To focus on the Word of God is to have the Son of God brought more into focus. We also need to fellowship with our brethren and spend time with our Christian family by attending worship services, visiting our brothers and sisters in Christ, and fellowshipping with them. Participating in the fellowship and not just being lukewarm, as the Bible says. We also need to do things that help you spread the good news. Here we offer working at the state fair, if you're able, the Harlem Township Festival, sharing God's word with your neighbors, your family, or your friends, of spreading the good news. This is a recurring theme in Scripture. As read in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We spend our lives however long Christ decides to bless us with here on earth. I believe Christ knew how we could be easily influenced by the things in the world that could distract us from following him. The first two humans he created were quickly influenced to disobey God in the Garden of Eden by taking a bite of the apple. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, and to include verse 33, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He begins here by saying that money and possessions are not dependable. They're easily lost. Clothing and other fabric, can be eaten by moths. Metal objects, they rust. Thieves skillfully identify the wealthy and break into the homes and steal valuable goods. Disaster and chaos can take every material possession that we have in an instant. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, as the word of God says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Instead of living in constant worry, Jesus gives his followers a different outlet for their energy. Pursue God's kingdom, trust his righteousness, and leave it to him to take care of the basic needs of our lives. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it reads, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Following is contrast of these things below and things above in Colossians 3. Paul goes on to give a list of standards for Christian behaviors. Everything about the individualist, self-centered priorities that have high value today seem to run counter to the type of restraint and sacrifice that Paul mentions in verses 18 through 22. Meaning, or reading, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Or husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. The only way that a person can live according to the above mentioned scriptures dictates that if he or she is taking direction from something other than that of the secular world. Thinking on the things that are above, the truths of God's word, not only guides us in what we should do, but gives the reasons we should do it, which is enjoying God's grace, the position that we have in Christ as Christians, and ultimately our eternal reward in heaven. As we believe the truth from above, more than the lies that are down here from below, we will start to act like the creatures that were born from above, who have been raised with Christ, as in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, and seated with him at the right hand of the Father, as read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. People tend to act differently when someone of higher authority is not around. When the boss is on vacation, coworkers will start breaking policy, arriving late to meetings, etc. If your parents are not home, and the children will start jumping on the bed, eating in their room, breaking curfew, getting on social media longer than their normal allotted times. It's like we tend to forget the rules or policies exist. As humans, we're forgetful people. Some more than others. I know my memory is terrible as I tend to age and get up there in age. I have to write a lot of things down and program a lot of things in my phone. My coworkers will easily tell you that if you're around me, my phone is consistently going off with alarms and alerts, because I could be in the midst of anywhere in a huge facility and I don't want to miss a meeting or miss a conversation or something. So I constantly have alerts going off that I have to program into my phone to remind me of these different things so I don't forget. And my wife will always tell you that when she sees me with my phone, she's up there, you're playing with your brain again. or whatever, because I'm programming everything into my phone to remind me, because my memory has just gotten so bad. I believe that God knew we would easily forget things that happened beforehand. People of the world tend to easily forget the meaning of, especially particular holidays, let's say July 4th. Some people just look at it as, you know what, it's a day off from work. I don't necessarily care about the time that America became independent from several other states. Memorial Day, it's a day off of work. I don't have to deal with my coworkers or my colleagues, but remembering those that were in battle that lost their lives, or casualties of war, those people that lost their lives. Christmas Day, the significance and the meaning behind Christmas and the Lord's Supper. I believe that God knew that we would be forgetful, and that's why he probably instructed us that on the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, because we might forget where our blessings come from. Do this in remembrance of me, inscribed on most communion tables, as you will see here in front of me here, that I've noticed over the years, just in case we forget. I think God was just like, you know what, let me just leave this right here so everybody can see it as a poster, so that you know exactly why you are doing and why are you participating in this. Christians can stay focused on Christ by committing to reading the Bible. Reading the Bible will help you build a stronger personal relationship with Christ. Secondly, you can develop a prayer life. Taking your request to God. If you want to know how to pray, read Jesus' instructions to his disciples in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. As you speak to the Lord throughout your day, you will naturally be more focused on him. Little things, big things, we can come to the Lord with all of our cares. The command is to pray continuously, or continually, as read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, to always be in an attitude and atmosphere of instant prayer. Thirdly, we need to trust the Lord as your only protector. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare, as read in Psalms chapter 25, verse 15. Once we understand the spiritual dangers that we face on a daily basis, we will focus more on Christ, our one and only Savior, who alone has the power of deliverance. Fourthly, recognize your need and the Lord as the source of all good things. The believer understands that love, joy, and peace are the direct result of his relationship with Christ, as read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. We need to see the world for what it is. The world is a place full of sin, a place in desperate need. The darker the world is to us, the more clearly the light of Christ will stand out and shine. Those who stay focused on Christ will find their perspective on worldly things changing. So hopefully this morning you have a better understanding of what it means to focus on the things that are above. God has a better plan for us that we can't even comprehend. Focusing on Christ and things that are above will take an effect, will take an effort, and extreme concentration and focus on our part. Realizing and understanding that the things of this life on earth are temporary, but focusing on where we can spend eternity with our Creator just makes more sense. So maybe you've lost focus this morning or recently and have become more focused on the things of this world, and you need to hit the reset button. Or maybe you don't have that relationship with Christ and you're here today and you want to be able to not focus on the things of the earth and find a better way and build a better, stronger, more concrete relationship with the person who designed you. Either way, if you have the need, Please come forward at this time as we stand and sing the chosen song of invitation.